Welcome to the Truthiness Show.
If you understand things are just as they are, if you do not understand things are just as they are,
it is really actually put together like our period room, which is to say it's historically accurate, but it didn't come from an intact office, but the artist made the story up that it did, which is just sort of playful. Okay, here's the story. This curator who used to work here, he disappeared one night, and we found his office 60 years later.
Was there ever a curator named Barton Kessel, and did he vanish boarding a train in 1954? We're at Minneapolis Institute of Arts with Liz Armstrong. Liz is taking high school students through a tour of more real art in the age of truthiness. Artists say a lot of truthy things in this show. Mark Dyan's installation, Curator's Office, not only looks like a set from Mad Men, it tells a kind of ghost story. Maybe manufactured evidence just means storytelling. But what about the time it started a preemptive war? Now the students push aside a black curtain and go into a very, very dark room. Inside, an ominous sculpture looms. It is Phantom Truck by artist Inigo Monglano Ovalle.
It like really scares me with like this walk. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, what is this?
We can touch this.
Yeah, you can actually touch this one.
Coincidentally, today happens to be March 19th, the 10th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Liz Armstrong explains that in 2003, Secretary of State Colin Powell presented the apparition as
a reason why we needed to invade Iraq. These were supposedly chemical weapon labs, weapons of mass destruction. And Inigo, correct me, but part of what he's done is to take Colin Powell's evidence, which turned out to be a fiction, and fabricate it and make it real. And of course, the idea of being in the darkness is that this was shrouded information, and it sort of appears very slowly as you adjust to the light out of that darkness for what it is.
High school student Georgianne Bird realizes she had a preconceived idea of what a WMD lab might actually look like.
Probably a box form of a semi-truck backing, but I never thought that they would actually try to, make something inside to where, the surface is invisible, but you see inside of it, if that's making any sense.
The appearances that precipitated the war in Iraq obviously still play a strong part in America's collective psyche. Museum guard David Engelking.
That trailer. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have the impression that Saddam Hussein actually had some of these fake trailers. He had them to create the impression that he had something that he didn't have.
The artist, Inigo Monglano Ovalle, explains.
There are indeed two trucks that were found, but then there's a whole story behind them. And what those trucks may have been for.
Inigo began following the conjecture about the two trucks.
One of the most expensive desert toilets. Another said maybe it was used for creating weather balloons. In other words, using water to create hydrogen to then inflate weather balloons. In any case, the project became quite forensic in studying the trucks. While I watched the speech, I knew already what I wanted to do as an artist, which was to create that truck that didn't exist, right? And then,
do you suppose any of us know what weapons really look like?
No, that's why it's so dark. You can't really see what's in it. Like, I see tanks, but I don't know what type of tanks they are, so kind of adds mystery to it.
If you understand,
on the show's opening day, artist Iris Hausler is watching people take in her installation, Ellen's Gift. This piece is built on an elaborate narrative. It traces the origins of a group of beeswax sculptures by Ellen Stanley. Ellen Stanley, true or false?
Ellen Stanley is a person born in 1895. She basically lived a normal life. She married, and what happened is when she was giving birth to her first child, a girl, she experienced a blindness. And she was brought to the doctors, and no one found a physical sign for that. So she was classified as a hysterical blind.
Ellen comes home from the asylum.
They had this woman there who was completely disorientated and disturbed. And when her mother visited her after quite a while, she brought her something. And she brought a cone of beeswax that was as long as an arm and as big as a waist, like a substantial piece of sculpture.
Ellen's sense of smell was activated by her blindness.
Ellen really enjoyed to run her fingers over the structures and to smell the piece. And Ellen got deeply into that and became a sculptor, more or less. I mean, untrained.
Art making got put on the weekly calendar for the housekeeper Elizabeth and Ellen.
This became a ritual of her once a week. But of course, this is a normal household. It was not a studio, so they didn't know what to do with these things. And if you look at these things, you have to say they are curious objects. They are non-canonical. You don't know where to reference to them. They look like pieces of meteorite or things like this. So that they decided to always...
We talked to museum visitors leaving Ellen's gift.
I'm Claire Carlson.
Jackie Wilhelm.
Her life was, you know, sad. But Jackie said at the time, well, her life wasn't in vain.
Well, her sculptures are there for people to learn about, to enjoy, to try and understand, and to get an example, I guess, of what her life was like.
Does it matter if she's a real person?
Oh, I think so. I think so. But she did have a tragic life, very tragic life.
I think I have to confess to you that I share the longing for truth and for reality with most people to a degree that I need to make all the material evidence and all the artifacts and the daily detritus of a person that I had invented before in order that I believe the story. So I convince basically myself, and I understand this deep longing that we have. It's something really human, really natural. I think the problem is not the creating of parallel realities or of fiction. The problem is, for a lot of people in the audience, the reveal. And I think it has to do with our experience in daily life, that we are encountering so often in advertising, in marketing, to be truly hoaxed. But we never get the disclosure. I'm Iris Häusler, and I'm a haptic conceptual artist, and I invent people.
A faux White House portal marks out the threshold to more real. But what's that Pentagon-shaped shack out in the hallway? Many people compare it to an ice house, but it's really our sound booth. It has sheetrock white walls and a flat roof. It's insulated with 1-inch foam core. It even has a rope handle and a hinged door.
My name is Candace Newt.
Susan Spray. I watch Jon Stewart and actually feel I'm getting a more unbiased view of what's going on in the world from the Comedy Channel than CNN or MSN. So, you know, this show kind of resonates on that regard.
It's an artificial reflection of reality. There you go. Farther on, you sort of lost track of that and you began to think that maybe some of these pieces were in fact invented by the curatorial staff. And that's when you really lost sense of reality. And there was one that was obviously, although fascinating, you read and you sort of went, whoa, that was sort of a mind trip. And then it really tainted the way you looked at the next one. And so once you crossed the line into total non-reality, it was hard to get back again and really believe anything.
Sure. My name is Jared Harms.
And my name is Kirk Bell. I didn't feel unhinged or disturbed until I saw Phantom Truck. It started to bother me. Walking into the room, it took my eyes a long time to adjust to the light. I didn't understand what I was seeing. I didn't understand how large the room was, if I could walk around it. And once I started to understand the perspective of the piece, then I started to understand what it was representing. And what it was representing started to bother me.
At Sharon Lockhart's lunch break photos, people puzzle over which figures are alive and which ones just lifelike.
Well, I know that there are three real men and two that are knot that stay in fixed positions. Oh, no, I'm mistaken.
Even though Chinese artist Ai Weiwei's colored vases may be Neolithic antiquities from 5,000 to 3,000 BCE, they are definitely glazed in neon shades of new house paint. High school student Fiona Walker interprets.
I see old pots covered in paint. I believe that they are originals, but now I'm starting to believe that they are recreations painted over. Now I think that they're beautiful the way they are instead of the way they were before, or the way they want us to think they were before.
As to real Chinese antiquities versus fake antiquities, another viewer had come explicitly on the show's opening day to see these works of Ai Weiwei.
My name is Jenny Sun. Last name is Sun. And first name is Jenny, like Jennifer.
Jenny says colored vases speak to China's complex historical past. During the Cultural Revolution,
a lot of antique has been, you know, thrown away or broken. So I think maybe like people think about why we're doing that. I think deeply. So I know the part of the history, what's happening in China. People right now more and more appreciate about these antiques. But when people live in a cultural relation, they think that's a bad thing, you know?
Pots, yeah. Yeah, the Ai Weiwei piece, for sure. Because I don't know. And, you know, I want to put it into context, and I want to know for sure. And the not knowing really gets to me.
Next time, we'll talk to Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Rybak about how more real life in public office can be. And we'll travel deep inside the museum for a look at how one of MIA's permanent collection masterpieces, Lucretia by Rembrandt, took a more real journey between the studio of contemporary artist Vic Muniz and MIA's framers. Visit More Real, Art in the Age of Truthiness at Minneapolis Institute of Arts until June 9th. For more information, go online to artsmia.org. Music track courtesy CC Mixter under a Creative Commons license. Thanks to Havelanus for Things Are Just As They Are. And from Turbulence.org, thanks to Aaron Zim for San Francisco Helicopters over anti-war protest. Special thanks to sound engineer Dennis Hasso. This has been The Truthiness Show, a podcast of the online art magazine AdobeAirstream.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes at A2 Media, letter A, number 2, Media. I'm Ellen Berkovich.
Things are just...